This is a talk given by Sydney Banks. A deeper appreciation of what he is saying can be obtained by listening to this tape many times.
You know, lately I've been asked my philosophical views on the connection between thought and consciousness and our everyday life. First of all, we couldn't possibly function without thought. All mental process, all mental functions must come via thought. That is why I say thought is the missing link that the psychologists have been looking for many years. It's the missing link between mental sickness and mental health. Said before, thought is one of the main principles behind all mental functioning. Without it, there would be no reality. This is why it's so vastly important to understand the power of thought. Without the power of free thought, the life as we know it right now wouldn't even exist. It is always via thought that all rules and regulations are created throughout the world. Why society makes its rules via their own thoughts, the way they think. This is why one culture has different rules and regulations than another. They have different religions, different ways to function, because they think differently. And you think according to the way you've been brought up. So if you're brought up, say, in an Asian country, you're going to think completely different if you were brought up, say, maybe in Britain. It's two different ways of functioning, two ways of thinking, but it's always via thought. All religions, theories, all sciences, literally all behavior of humanity comes via thought. This is where the secret to mental health lies, in thought connected to consciousness. Now, not too long ago I heard that someone argued that you couldn't really prove that consciousness existed. Well, that's rather a flimsy kind of argument, because you couldn't even talk to each other. You wouldn't even know that each other existed without consciousness. With consciousness and thought, put them together and they create what you call reality. All mental upsets and marriages come via your client's thoughts. It's the way they look at each other, the way they survey each other via their thoughts that create the fight or the squabble. Now, when they first met, they're madly in love, and they didn't bring in the negative thoughts. They ignored it because they were madly in love with each other. But as time went on, you fall back into what you call habit. Psychological habit. And this is where the danger of a marriage starts, when these psychological, old psychological habits come back, because they get out of control. And people say, I see what I'm doing. I see I'm in a habit. I see I'm fighting with my wife or my husband. But what can I do about it? Why am I doing it? The second you do that, then you've missed the point. It doesn't matter why you're doing it, because it's a habit. And to feed a habit, to feed a negative habit, you must find negative causes why you feel negative. And believe me, there's an infinite amount of ways that you can do it. You could go up to somebody and say you didn't like the color of their eyes, their hair, their nose. You don't like the weather. You don't like your mother-in-law, your father-in-law, your sister, your brother, your cousin, your boss. It goes on and on and on until there's endless amount of excuses. But that's part of the sickness. That's part of the lostness, is those excuses. So my advice, when you honestly find that you're in a habit, no matter what the excuse, really look and see it's a psychological habit. And if you can see all it is a habit, and the habit is thought, it's created from thought. If you can see that, honestly see that, then that habit, like alcoholism, will start to die away. You see, consciousness is simply existence in form. And it is via thought that we can recognize the existence of consciousness. It is via these two principles that we function daily. It's via these two principles that we can either see negative or positive. It is via these two principles that our reality exists. Thought is the main principle behind the way we survey life from day to day, such as if we're in a happy mood, we are having happy thoughts, nothing else, just happy thoughts. If we see sadness, we're seeing, hearing, and feeling sadness. Because all our feelings come via thought. Thought creates feelings. And if a client's thoughts are misguided, then they get bad feelings. And this is a psychologist or a therapist's job, is to change the feelings of the client who is suffering. And to change feelings, you must, absolutely must, change your thoughts. It must be done via thought, because thought directs us to how we feel. A lot of people think that because they've been married a few years, they've lost a lot of the love that they had for each other, the caring, the sharing, that it's lost for good. But this is the furthest thing away from the truth, believe me. Because I know many, many people that have been married many years, and each year gets more and more beautiful, because they have realized that the love that they had originally was the thoughts to each other, and it grows. These thoughts get stronger because you get used to each other. That is, if you can keep away from the old habits. You know the awareness groups telling you to be up front? Well, in actual fact, they're not helping a marriage. They're helping to destroy a marriage for the simple reason they're reinforcing the negative thoughts, the ones, the bad habits that create divorces, squabbles, and a lot of misery for a lot of innocent people. And this is the beauty of start to realize the connection between thought and consciousness and marriage. This is where the therapist can really, truly go in and patch up a marriage, make it better. Even after many, many years, after maturity comes, this is when marriages get better. Because it's a mature love. It's a more understanding love. And understanding, again, comes via thought. So always look for the positive. Always. That is the only place, the only state that will get you to mental health, is via positive thought. And if anybody ever tells you otherwise, please be very careful and think about it. Because negative thoughts lead to negative habits. Positive, loving thoughts lead to just that. So if I was you, I'd really look and see the connection between consciousness and thought. And here lies the answer to all psychological functioning. Thank you.
After editing this Tampa tape, it made me reminisce. It made me reminisce back 17 years and to the day on Salt Spring when I had the simple realization that there was an honest-to-goodness correlation between mind, consciousness, and thought. And how the simplicity of this, when understood, could help the mental health field. Because from these basic principles, these three basic principles, that all consciousness is brought into form. This is where our realities are born from these basic three principles. And that is mind, consciousness, and thought. But when consciousness appears, it has to be put into motion. And the way it's put into motion is via thought. Thought is a vehicle that we use to see and think with a free will in this life. Now, without any judgment, just look at thought. Let's not judge anybody or anything. Just look at thought. When a patient comes into you and they're troubled because they've got troubled thought, the thoughts are full of sorrow, anxiety, fear, or some of the negative feeling. And what you're trying to do is change their thoughts. And to change their thoughts, you have to understand the principle and the connection between thought and consciousness. You know, many therapists have discussed the principle of mind and psychology with me over and over again. And one of the ways I like to try and explain it is this. If you can imagine mind as being a main computer and consciousness being the software and thought being a human being that programs everything into the computer. Now from day one, we start to get programmed because of thoughts. These thoughts go astray and we get into trouble. Then we go to the people like you, therapists and doctors, for help. And you try and change our program. It's that simple. And to try to change the actual program, the only person, the only thing that can change that program is the thought, is the person who is computing it. Listen to this very carefully. Only what you put into that program, like any other computer, is all you can get out. If you put negativity in, that's all you can get out. However, you can ask, again, Mr. Thought to reprogram. It is a change in thought. You know, in the 17 years, I've got to know an awful lot of people in the health and profession, a lot of doctors, and believe me, I have nothing but the greatest of admiration for those people, because those people, it's not like a lot of professions where you're relatively safe, because such people as therapists and psychiatrists and psychologists, every day they put themselves in the firing line of mental sickness. You know, I honestly believe that some of the therapists and the doctors here in the mental health field in the United States are the best in the world. And I honestly, strongly believe that someday this will be recognized and those doctors will spread mental health throughout the world. You know, philosophy is our own opinion of life, or taking the opinion of someone else's and putting it into our computer and accepting it as true or false. But it is always just a belief. Eh? That's what philosophy is. Now, the old type of therapy that we had, started in the past, that's what it was. It's a philosophy. It's everybody's opinion. But it's not a science. It's a philosophy. Now, a science, you must have main principles. And these doctors that I see in the United States today are connecting themselves with the principles. And they're turning psychology from a philosophy into a science. And when it gets into a science, it becomes very tangible, and you have basic principles to go by, just like mathematics or any other science. You know, you have no idea the honor it's been for me to associate and listen to some of those very, very clever doctors that are here in the United States. Well, perhaps someday we'll get together and talk again. In the meantime, thank you.
Thank you for listening to this talk. We hope it has been helpful to you.